Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, praise the Lord, Romans chapter 15. Want to try to encourage you tonight, as I have been encouraged. I think upon, as we get toward the end of this book, we realize that Paul is transitioning. He's been encouraging this church on practical Christian living. He's taught just an enormous amount of unity, about unity. Especially we've looked at chapters 14 when it comes to Christian liberty, when it comes to seeking to avoid being a stumbling block, seeking to build up and keeping each other in mind. There's a lot of gray areas that they were looking at, and Paul was telling them how to deal with that. And I believe the Lord helped us over the past few weeks as we've looked at that passage. I believe God's Spirit's been speaking to us, and I just want to really strongly encourage you. If you haven't been here for those messages, please go back and listen to those, and just how we are to handle areas of differences that we have, even as church members who we love each other, we thank the Lord for each other. We're serving the Lord together, but there are just going to be some areas we won't see eye to eye, but it's okay. We can have unity and not always have the same exact opinion, okay? There's sweet unity that the Holy Spirit gives, especially, again, in those areas, but there's also areas that are crystal clear where we stand strongly upon. And so he's taking the church through that, and I believe he's just preparing them. As you remember, this letter being written, these letters that were written to a church were to be read in a congregation of this nature. I don't know, maybe bigger, smaller, whatever. But when they received this letter, they would read it and then they would study it. And I'm sure that the things that were taking place, Paul was addressing. And so we're going to continue the thought of unity tonight, but not unity in the area of or not in the realm of gray areas, but really unity as we go through difficult times. And I want to look at this passage tonight, and starting in verse number 4, chapter 15, verse number 4. Notice what the Bible says here. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. He's talking about the Old Testament there. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. There's these verses that deal with unity. To be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another. That word receive is the word really accept. You accept ye one another as Christ also received or accepted us to the glory of God. Now, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. He's talking about the Jews there, the circumcision of the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Talking about the Jewish fathers. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Because, of course, the Lord turned to the Gentiles. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Now, you can write down to the side of that. He's quoting the Old Testament over and over and over here. And that is from Psalm 78:49, and you could write that down, or either I'm misreading mine. It might be 18. Do you have 18:49. Thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And then verse 10. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. That's Deuteronomy 32:43. And then verse 11. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. And laud Him, that's praise Him, all ye people. That's from Psalm 117, verse 1. Now he's going to quote Isaiah. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, David's father, Jesse. And he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. That's you and me, trusting Jesus. And that's from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 10. Now notice verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. With the Lord's help tonight, I just want to encourage you how, when it comes to the areas in life where, as believers, we go through various trials and various situations, and there may be even areas that, again, where we may not see necessarily completely eye to eye on, where he is considered some would be strong, some would be weak. And we recognized last week that we all fall into that category in some way. That's just truth. But even in the midst of that, God's design is for us to grow together even in trials, especially in trials. I don't know how it all works, ladies and gentlemen. I don't claim to know. Neither do I know exactly how electricity works. But I tell you what, I don't stand around in the room in the dark. We turn the lights on, and what I believe here is what God is telling us, that many times when we go through difficult situations, trials, God has a way of uniting us and connecting us stronger than ever before. God has given us so many examples, and what He's going to do here is Paul's going to remind us that, look, everything that was written aforetime in verse 4, he says, it is for our learning that we through patience, that's endurance. That word patience is the idea of enduring. It speaks of fortitude. It speaks of steadfastness. And that's really what we have to be like. And I didn't plan this, but it couples along with the message this morning on commitment. Our responsibility as Christians for that commitment, it takes endurance. But listen, we can't do it alone. I need you. You need me. We need each other. It is obvious that is God's plan. And we see here. Now, think about the hundreds of examples we have in the Old Testament of God taking His people through difficult times, and how they came out stronger on the other side. I mean, we can go all the way back to the garden, really, with Adam and Eve. We can walk through the book of Genesis, either the situation with Cain and Abel. You just continue walking and the life of Noah and his children before and after the flood. The things that they went through, and you go on through, and you come to, of course, Abraham, and the nation of Israel begins. God's faithfulness to His people, and how they would grow stronger through adversity. And I believe that, as we see here, God is going to lead us that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we're going to have hope. And I believe that one of the things that we cannot neglect is the very fact that our strength, our hope in hard times is going to come from the Word of God, the Scriptures. That's what He says here. It says comfort of the Scriptures that we might have hope, a hope that does not disappoint. You remember the lessons we learned with the children of Israel going through the wilderness, how they tempted God, how they doubted God. Remember when God would feed them, they would be content for a little while, and then another trial would come. Then they would complain, they would murmur, and then it was the water, and it was example after example. You would think that they would finally say, "Oh yeah, God's going to take care of us." But we're just like them, aren't we? It's like I said this morning, it'd be nice if we just committed. You say, you know what? As of August 25th, 2024, I'm just going to trust God for everything. And I'm never going to worry again. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Huh? Yeah. Hey, you got a point there, Mr. Ralph. You'd be dead. No, it doesn't work that way. But praise God, we can look back at the examples of the Old Testament saints that just saw God provide over and over and over again when they didn't think somebody was going to provide. How many times did Joseph, did he think that, hey, well, this is it. When he sat at the bottom of the pit, this is it. The boy's got me. Now I'm in slavery. Then he started working his way up. Then he found his way in the prison. This is it. I'm done. And so on. And we could go through these examples. And even with Moses. I mean, Corinthians, Paul brings out that very fact when they, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, it says this, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And it says this, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. I'm thankful for the examples that God gives us in the Old Testament that we can trust Him. We can, folks. We must. God's got us. And we understand that He's encouraging this church under some tyrant in the Roman government and is seeking to harm and hurt and persecute and murder them and their families. Paul is going to encourage them that, listen, you can trust the Lord. Notice with me, if you hold your place over there in Romans, again, pointing us back, the New Testament, pointing us back to the Old Testament. Go over with me to James. Hold your place there in Romans. Go over to the book of James. If you go right there, if you go to Peter, you've gone too far. But you go to Hebrews, just go a few more pages till you run right into James. Notice James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. All right, there it is again. Be patient. This is James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Now, let me pause there for a second. Think about the fact that I don't think it's an accident that Romans, there were some division, maybe some differences of opinion in Romans chapter 14, and he's going to take them about enduring and staying unified through hard times. Let hard times bring you stronger together, and it will. And the same thing, he's doing it here. While you endure, don't start grumbling towards each other. Don't be critical towards one another. Don't be judging each other in an unrighteous way. Because notice what he says, the judge standeth before the door. We know the Lord is the judge. Now, again, he's going to point us back to the Old Testament. He says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You know, as we think upon back in our passage here, they're pointing us back to the Old Testament examples of walking with God in the midst of trouble. I think of Psalm 42, 5. He says here, talking to himself, the psalmist does, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. He's looking to the Lord. He's hoping in the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 49 says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You see, friends, tonight as we think upon the hope that He gives, notice who it comes from. All right, so we know that we find it in the Scriptures, but notice verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation. He's the steadfast God. He is always there. And it says, and the consolation, that's the God of encouragement, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. I want to tell you tonight, we have an encourager. You have an encourager with you tonight. His name is the Holy Spirit. He will encourage you. He's encouraging you now. He's trying to encourage you. Sometimes we don't let Him, do we? Sometimes we tell Him we don't want encouragement. It's a very interesting dynamic. I don't understand how the human mind works, even though the only thing I can explain is because we have the curse upon us because of sin. It's been corrupted, our minds. But for some reason, sometimes we can be so cantankerous that we like to be upset. Y'all look so pious right now. Like, y'all, just like, not me, preacher. Sometimes we just don't want to be comforted. We don't want to be encouraged spiritually by the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be assured of God's love and God's faithfulness. We kind of like to dwell in our turmoil, in our heart. We kind of like to dwell in that. But God is the God who is an encourager. And because of that, when He encourages us, we join our minds, we join our mouths, our words. It says, in one mouth there in verse 6, and one mouth glorify God. We're unified in our praise. We're unified in our thoughts. And that's why we can accept one another in verse 7. Listen, we ought to receive one another. Also, as Christ received us to the glory of God. Don't miss this. Verse 7 is connected with verse 3 in its context. What does it tell us when it goes to considering a brother or sister that maybe looks at something a little differently than the way I do? Remember, we ought to please one another. It says, Christ pleased not Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Christ Jesus gave us the example of, listen, this life that I came here on earth, it's not about pleasing me. We're here to accept one another where we are in the stages of life. And what I mean by that is in the context we accept each other and with godly love to, again, the theme of chapter 14 here is to build up one another spiritually. Now, we don't love each other if we just kind of act as if everything's okay. And in the sense, well, that's just who he is, or that's who she is. And how, yeah, that's whatever. I don't really care. That's not godly love. But there's also not a judgmentalism there. There's an acceptance in saying, you know what? I love you, brother. I love you, sister. And I want you to know I'm standing with you in this. And through this, whatever we're going through, that's the spirit I believe that Paul is conveying here. Just reaching out for the sake of unity. And then he brings out the idea of, because the Jews were, of course, not very happy, if you will, about God turning to the Gentiles. But God had already told them He would. I mean, that's what Paul is repeating here in Isaiah. He's like, look, I'm going to turn to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are going to believe upon me. In fact, there was an indictment upon the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, because God made the statement that these pagans are in the idolatry they are because of you. because they were just living to themselves. But what he's bringing out here, that in the context of Jews and Gentile, he said, look, you are coming together in Christ. Those Jewish people that are putting their faith in Christ, these Gentiles that are putting their faith in Christ, and you know the Gentiles had their past with all their idolatry and their just paganism and their life, and then of course the Jews had all their traditions, and that many of them were still practicing, which was okay, but they just had all these differences. But the fact of the matter is, God is bringing them together and saying, you're one. Get along, children. Set your petty stuff aside for the sake of Jesus Christ and His church. Get along together. Make an impact. Glorify God together with your praise and your words. Don't talk bad and down to each other. No, that's not who you are. You are the church of the living God. You are representing me, both Jew and Gentile, in the church. And through your troubles, you're going to see you need one another. And that's where we find Paul encouraging them. And he's going to close up here with verse number 13. Now the God of hope. So not only is he the God of encouragement, the God of patience, but he's the God of hope. May he fill you to capacity, and overflowing is the idea there. Fill you with all joy and peace. So the God of hope will fill you and me with joy and peace in what? Believing. Believing Him. That's you and me, brethren. Again, it goes back. Is God going to be faithful to us? Like I said, I wish I could just make that decision one time and never had a worry again. But that's not reality. But what I can do each time, as I said this morning, putting a stake in the ground, I can open up the Word of God and I can review this and let it hide in my heart. Now, the God of hope, He's the God of hope. May He fill me with joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. Abound! That's super abounding. Man, yeah, that's super abounding. We are super conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We don't need to sit around and with an Eeyore mentality. And understand, God is giving us the joy of the Lord. It is our strength. And it's His joy. It's not my joy. It's His joy. And you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So many things we could say tonight about this. You remember the shipwreck, the Apostle Paul, when he was getting back to Rome? You all remember that. He had taken the three missionary journeys and he was at the end of his life. And they were going back to Rome. He was a prisoner on the ship. And remember the big storm that came? Paul tried to tell him not to go at that time and that route, and God evidently, we all see here kind of the outside looking down, we understand how it was all transpiring and coming together, but Paul didn't see it at the time. They didn't see it at the time, how it was all going to work out. But Paul had an inclination there that, listen, an intuition that we don't need to do this. But they ignored him. They ignored Paul, and they went anyway. God used it, though. And when they were in a position where the ship was being destroyed because of the storm, Paul had told them that, look, we've made a bad decision here, but everybody's going to survive. And I they all thought Paul was crazy. But Paul was used to that. There's a verse in Acts 27, verse 44, that says this, and the rest that were on the ship as the ship was being destroyed, this huge storm is going to put them on the Malta, and Malta is where they will end up. It says, and the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they they escaped all safe to land. And as I think upon endurance tonight, and as I think of us pressing forward for Christ, even in the face of difficulty as a people from so many backgrounds, I think as we stay unified as a church, I think of the power it is to understand that we're going to all arrive safely. Now, could God have sent an angel down from the clouds and upon the waves and delivered them fellows right off the ship and just really showed out in that way? God could have done so many things, right? But He let the ship break apart. And I'm paraphrasing here. This is not in the King James anyway, but basically his fellows find a board and hang on. But you're going to get to the shore safely. And I think even as I think upon tonight, you know, how the common, really the reality of life is that illustration, and even what the people of God were going through in Romans 15 and what we're going through now with our trials and different things going on, isn't that just a natural ebb and flow of life? Well, I tell you, God just helps us realize that there's not always going to be some of this huge supernatural $1 million check in the mail type deliverance. Now, if that happens, I will rejoice with you. And I'm sure you would take me out to eat. But the fact of the matter is, God brings natural ways of delivering. He uses His people. He uses His church. He uses the circumstances of life. He guides hearts. He guides people. The Bible is an example of the ebb and flow of life, of trial and triumph. And we've seen it from the beginning. And I believe that's what Paul's spirit was on casting our hearts. He said, look back to the Old Testament and look how I've been faithful. Look how God has been so faithful to bless and help His people. He didn't always deliver them the way they thought they should be delivered. But He did. He was persecuted many times, Paul was, but not broken in spirit. I even think about the example. Remember Paul when he got saved and, man, he got to Damascus and was trying to find out what all was going on after coming to know Christ. And then there were people to come to persecute him. You remember that? What did they do with Paul? They put him in a laundry basket and lowered him down a window to save his life. Why? I guess the angels could have come and delivered him out like they did Peter. They didn't happen that way. Old Brother Paul had to just get in the old laundry basket and run for your life. And he did, and God used him. God used him in a great way. God's pattern for our lives is to trust Him. Trial and triumph. And to be there for each other through every step of the way. In closing, you may have heard of the Navy SEAL Ryan Jobb. He was fighting over in Afghanistan, and three of his SEAL brothers were engaged there and were hit with machine gun fire, and he was shot in the face and lost his eyesight. Of course, he survived. But he would go on to come back to the States and rehab. And I read his book last year, and he gives a testimony. He got saved, was led to Christ. But one of the things he did, and he did eventually pass away, and it was a sort of a tragic situation. Even, of course, after he gotten saved and after in rehab. He had gotten a job and things, and then actually he decided he wanted to climb Mount Rainier and as a blind man, and he did do it. He went with a guide, and as he went up this mountain and 10,000 feet in elevation, he would climb this mountain completely blind, but you had to be extremely fit to do it, had to be in top physical condition, and with the altitude, you had to prepare yourself for that, but he did it, and he said he did it by just taking each step that his guide told him to take. The whole way. Each detailed step. And he said, "How'd you do it, Ryan?" He said, "I just took the next step that my guide told me to take." And he made it to the summit. And there's a picture there of him hugging his guide, and just a beautiful picture of endurance, honestly. Really a beautiful picture of endurance. And I couldn't help but think that what a picture of the Christian. That's just sometimes you can't see because it's so dark and you don't even know the next step. But thank God you have a God that tells you exactly where to step. Every time. Every step. Every time. You say, "I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow." Let the God of all comfort and joy and peace guide your next step. And then the next one. And then the next one. God's going to guide you. And he's going to get you to the top. He's going to get me to the top. He's faithful. We're going to trust him. Tonight, let's be unified. Let's be of one mind and of one heart, praising the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we're going to trust you tonight to continue to unify us, Holy Spirit, and teach us how to be faithful, how to trust you, even when we can be so different in our personalities and our backgrounds, and even, Lord, like our standards, even some things that we don't see eye to eye on. Lord, I'm just so thankful that we can work all through that with the power of God. We can look to the Scriptures and be encouraged because of your faithfulness to your people. Lord, I know you don't always promise us a safe journey, but I'm thankful, God, that you promise us a safe landing. Oh, God, help us to be faithful when it's tough, when it hurts, when it's dark and scary. Help us to trust you, Lord, to work in our midst miraculously. Help us to trust you to even use natural means, oh God, to get us where you want us. I pray that we would see you in every part of our life, every single part. And I pray here tonight for all those that are here. I pray for their encouragement. I pray that for their hope. I pray for their peace as they are believing you, Lord. That we would all experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just have an invitation time.